Thank you. So I'm Hunter Freeman. Actually, one talk at the Beltwide. I think it's my first talk that I haven't talked about soil fertility management. So this is a little bit different area, exciting area for me to get into, is talking about seeding rate effects. And I get a lot of questions as the cotton specialist about, can we reduce seeding rates when cotton seed is $600 a bag? They want to stretch that over as many acres as possible. So that's what we're evaluating. So like I said, this is the most common question I get. Can I reduce seeding rates and still maintain yields on my cotton crop? If they're planting about 3 seeds per row foot, it's over $100 an acre. It's even great. Most of the time, the seed cost now is surpassing the soil fertility input cost, which has typically been in our non-legume systems the highest input in that system. So it's a big issue for growers going forward in terms of profitability. So we initiated the first study in 2017, and we looked at 5 seeding rates. And we also have some PGR strategies. I'm not going to talk about that in one of the studies. But we looked at 5 seeding rates, 5 varieties in that first year. In the second year, we expanded to 2 locations, and we're looking at 7 varieties across 7 seeding rates. So that's a total of 49 treatments. So when I asked my guys to go out and box map these trials, they're not too excited to go out and start looking at plant components within a 5-foot section of row. And we actually have components and fiber quality going all the way down to individual bowls. So first position, first fruiting branch fruit, we know we have that component, what that contributes actually to yield from this trial. And we actually put a monetary value on that if we wanted to go that deep. So just moving into one of the issues about reducing seeding rates is, can we get the stands? Can we actually get the plants per row foot? Our recommendations are a final plant population of about two plants per row foot. And so this is 2018 data where we looked at plant seeding rates at 1, 1.5, 2, 2.5, 3, 3.5, and 4 seeds per row foot. And then we looked at 7 different varieties, and the varieties we are now looking at are Phytogen 333, which has been our standard in Virginia for a while. Phytogen 340 is a newer wide strike 3 Enlist variety. Phytogen 300. And then some older Delta Pine varieties, 1538, 1639, as well as our new standard bearer for cotton in Virginia is Delta Pine 1646. This is going to be the number one variety moving forward this year, and probably if I had to predict the future, 2020. And then an old standby for us, Stoneville 4946. That's an older variety, but it still does pretty well. What we saw at the Tidewater location is, and I don't know whether it's because of old seed or older seed, they're not really producing 333, they're phasing it out, is we did see a little bit of reduction in plant populations when using that variety. But other than that, as we increased seeding rates, plant populations increased. We never got to 100%, but we were consistently around 85 to 95% of our projected population based off of seeding rate at both locations. So this is in Southampton County. Again, you see the blue bar, 333 had lower plant populations, almost 25% lower. And so we think we have an issue with some seed lot there that we use for both of these locations. And again, all the other varieties performed very well, and we got about 80, 85% of what we were shooting for in terms of final plant population. And so next I'm going to move into just some looking at Phytogen 333 because this has been our standard bearer. This is at 1 seed per row foot. This was taken September 5th, so probably about 3 weeks before we were going to be set to defoliate. And what do you notice about that? We're having interaction talk today. What do you notice about that variety seeded at one seed per row foot? Lots of branches, lots of bowls on those branches. So when we look at that, if you look at those fruiting branches, we have all the way out to the third position fruit set. And actually, we had a total of 31 total bowls on that plant that I assume were going to be harvestable on that 1 seed per row foot. So when we go up to 2 seed per row foot, we see a little bit smaller plant here, but we still see some second, third position bowls. And I just picked 1, 2, and 3 because in 2017 we only went to 3 seeds per row foot. But again, we see that you still have multiple bowl positions, but it's dropped from a lot of third position fruit on those bottom branches. Now it's more 2. you see more second position fruit, not a lot of third position fruit other than that one fruit and branch. So 19 total bowls. So we've cut it by almost 33%. So we've gone from 31 to 19 total bowls on that plant. This is 3 seed per row foot. What do you notice about that? A lot less fruit on that plant. So what we've actually done, you see some second position fruit on lower fruiting branches, but a lot of those fruiting branches on that plant have one bowl on that fruiting branch. And that's a 14 total bowls on that plant there. So we've even cut it even further, another 33% just by adding one seed per row foot to our seeding rate. So we're getting less bowls per plant. So what does that equal in terms of bowls per row foot? Because that's one of our harvest components, is the maximum amount of harvestable bowls we can get per row foot is going to equal more yield in the end. So when we look at that, it's right at 25 total bowls at the one seed per row foot plant. And this is actually based off of our box mapping at the end. 26.6 harvestable bowls on the two seed per row foot, and right at 29 harvestable bowls on the three seed per row foot. So we're actually increasing, even though we're decreasing bowls per plant, we're increasing the total bowls that we get in a foot of row. And in Virginia, we're on 36-inch centers. I know that doesn't make a lot of difference, but that's what our row spacing is 3 foot. So moving forward, so next, during our box mapping, I put this little diagram up, and I want to show this. This is harvestable bowl retention. So this is percent bowl retention that we actually pulled lint out of the bowl and actually weighed seed cotton and gin. And what we have here is on the fruiting branches 1 to 3. So that's typically nodes 5 to 7 or 6 to 8, depending on what variety. This is averaged across our 5 varieties in 2017. From that first position on the first 3 fruiting branches, we had an 88% retention of harvestable fruit on fruiting branches 1 to 3. When we moved out to the second position, we had 75% fruit retention. And then at the third position, right at 40%, 38%. That middle section, fruiting branches 4 to 6, we saw that first position fruit actually go up. 92% was retained. 64% of those bowls were retained for harvest on the second position fruit and at those fruiting branches, and then 27. And the basic gist of what is happening here, as we move up the plant, fruit retention decreases, which I think we all knew. And as we move out on the fruiting branches, fruit retention decreases. So how does this look when we move forward? So here you go. Here's the 2 seed per row foot. And what we see is all of those numbers dropped to the point where when we start getting out to the second and third positions, they're dropping quite a bit. That third position goes from 40% to 11% is what we're retaining. The first and second positions drop. Second position drops more than those first position fruits. So when we move to 3, drops even further. We still have great fruit retention on those bottom fruiting branches, first position. We're still maintaining over 70% of our bowls. But there's a greater reliance on that first position fruit as we increase in Virginia our seeding rates. And what does that implications have? Well, we still don't know, but we do know if we get to fighting plant bugs like the Mid-South Flights plant bugs, which is looking more and more the case, that growers are going to have to protect if we're planting 3 seed per row foot cotton. So this is our seeding rate. So in 2017, this was encouraging, though I've always heard cotton doesn't respond to seeding rates. The higher seeding rates don't always translate to higher yields. We did see over across all 5 varieties we tested in 2017, when we increased seeding rates from 1 to 3 seed per row foot, we did increase yields. However, yields were maximized at that 2 seed per row foot rate compared to the 3 seed. So that tells you that if you have 2 to 3 seeds per row foot in your seeding rate, you're probably going to be optimal. And so we wanted to repeat that and actually expand a little bit, because I wanted to see what happens when we get above that 3 seed per row foot. I wanted to see the curve drop off. So this is 2018. So this is 7 varieties, 7 seeding rates. And as you can tell, from 1 to 3, if you look at the higher yielding bars there, we stay kind of flat. So there was no response even at the lower seeding rates. But then once we went above 3 at the Tidewater location, we started to drop off in terms of lint yield. And that was, there was an interaction between variety and seeding rate of 0.09. I did not put the mean separations on here because it would just been so busy of a slide. And there's A through H in terms of the letters that SAS provided for me. So I said, that's not going to work. So I think we need to look at individual varieties, especially focusing on 1646 and some of the newer genetics. But however, what we are seeing at Tidewater was high yielding location, but when we did get above 3 seeds per row foot, we saw a negative penalty on yield in our seeding rates. This is the second location in Southampton County. We had no seeding rate by variety interaction. But again, if you look at 1646 and the Phytogen 333, which I would say are our two most popular varieties in Virginia, there is a general increase in yield with increasing seeding rates at this location, even though it is a lower yielding location. The other varieties stay kind of flat. There was no seeding rate effect at this trial. So we have some mixed results there in terms of seeding rate and looking at what growers can do, which is not a bad thing, right? So if we can get by with lower seeding rates, that's going to be more economical for our growers. They can stretch that bag of cottonseed. So next I want to look at contribution. This is 2017 data because we really haven't finished the box mapping. They're still working on it this week. But so this is the four different seeding rates across varieties, and this really stuck out. When we have low, when we have low populations or low seeding rates, 40% of our yield came from the vegetative fruiting branches compensating, and that was equal to the first position fruit. As we increase the seeding rate, 70% of our yield is coming from those first position fruits. Fruiting branch, on those fruiting branches, only less than 15%. So we've had almost half to a third of the vegetative fruit that we were getting. More reliance on those first position fruit. The other thing that struck me is I always get the question that should I protect the top fruit, the top crop? Do I need to continue spraying insecticides into September to protect that top crop? And when we have a maximum of 6% of your yield coming from the top crop, and if you have a higher population less than that, I would say it's probably not economical to really worry about that top crop if you have good fruit retention in the bottom part of your plant. When we look at this by fruiting branch, so fruiting branches 1 to 3, 4 to 6, 7 to 9, 10 to 14, what we see is as we increase, the fruiting branches become more important up to about fruiting branch 6, 7 to 9. The fruiting branches 7 to 9, which would be nodes 12 to 14, really kind of stayed flat, which surprised me. There was a little significant increase, but not a lot. And then, but the middle, those bottom fruiting branches to the middle fruiting branches really picked up the slack at the higher seeding rates. So with that, seeding rates has significant effect on plant architecture and yield components during 2017. We're working on the results for 2018. But as seeding rate increases, we definitely have more reliance on first position fruit. And then yield response has been variable. However, it looks like there might be a trend at 2 out of 3 locations the first 2 years of the study that the higher yielding varieties in Virginia actually respond maybe a little bit better to higher seeding rates than some of the lower yielding varieties. And then we're going to repeat this again a third year in 2019. So with that, I will take any questions. No, I haven't.
Because one of the questions you haven't answered yet is, okay, you increase seeding rate, you increase cost a lot.
Yep.
So that decrease in a little bit lower yield at the lower plant population, but you've used a third of seeding rate.
That's right, and that's going to be the big component of that we haven't done. And I'll be honest, before we put economics to it, I'd rather have a robust data set so we can do a combined analysis and to see if there's any effect to seeding rate at all. If there's no effect, then we can reduce our seeding rates if we get the stands. And that's going to be the other thing, is looking at final plant populations, seeing if there's a correlation there. So thank you. I think
we're
the press for time.
Yeah.